I don't know about you, but you know what? As I get older and older, I actually don't feel refreshed when we actually gain an hour in the fall, but I definitely feel that we're losing that 1 hour. This morning I woke up and I was feeling kind of grumpy this morning, so would you just pray for me as I deliver God's message? You know, someone once said that lamps are different. They come in different sizes, shapes, but the light that illuminates the light is the same. And the reason I'm saying this is because last Sunday, we had an opportunity to gather together here to host Kids Against Hunger. And in my table, we had all the kids, I think. We had all the kids. And I remember Chase. She couldn't even scoop up the stuff, right? But all she did was she carried that little bag on her head as she just went from boxes to boxes as her mom Cindy was dumping the stuff. And I remember James, you know, he could barely reach the box, and he was scooping it and putting it into the package. But once again, guys, thank you so very much. We were able to pack 13,324 packs of food. And this week, I received an email from Kids Against Hunger saying, thank you so very much for being a blessing as this 13,342 packs are going to be shipped to Kenya. And I remember Courtney, the coordinator, saying that, you know what? What we did in an hour and a half, over 60 people or 50 people, that one person, it would take 60 hours. And so for me, like I said, guys, lamps comes in many different sizes and forms, but the light that illuminates, it's the same. And so I just want to say thank you so very much for that. So let me pray as we dive into the Word of God. Father, we thank you so very much that reminding us that we are your co-laborers, discovering our purposes, our talents and gifts to further the kingdom of God on this earth. Lord, this morning I pray that our dependence upon you will be greater than has ever been before. I pray that, Father God, that we'll be able to not only hear the message, but also, Father God, that we'll be able to follow the example of Jesus' prayers. And Father God, I echo my brother Justin. Thank you so very much for going to the cross to shed our sins on our behalf. And that, Father God, that as Romans chapter 5 declares that we have given an access to the throne room of God, and that veil was torn. And Father God, as we continue to kind of remember, I just want to, Father God, thank you so very much for what you have done for us. Father God, right now as we receive your word, I ask that you would soften our hearts and allow us to be still. Father, I thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. So now, would you, all of you, open up your Bible app, if you don't have a physical Bible, to Matthew chapter 26, to verse 36 to 46. Matthew 26 to 36 to 46. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and his two sons of Zebedee. He began to sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little further and fell on his knees and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what? Could you not just watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter the temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, on the second time, he went away and prayed and saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came, found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went again, and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of the sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. After the Last Supper, Jesus leads his disciples down the Kidron Valley and through a bunch of wineries as he arrives at a garden, the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, has anyone ever stopped to wonder or ask yourself why a garden? Why would he play in a garden? And why the infamous prayer, "Oh, please remove this cup from my life. If it is your will, let your will be done," take place in a garden? Now, as you know, human history began where? In the garden. In the Garden of Eden. As sin and human failure entered, and in that garden, first Adam was overcome by sin. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, the second Adam, Jesus, overcame sin. And in the Garden of Eden, Adam fled, ran away from God. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus Christ, the last Adam, presented himself to the Father's will. Very emblematic. But actually, there's more. Now, some of you guys may already know what Gethsemane means. It comes from two Hebrew words, got, which means press, and shemanim, which means olives. So if you were to put these words together, we get the word olive press, or place where the olives are pressed. Now, in my house, olive oil is the king. Among canola oil, avocado oil, and there are many, many different kinds of oils. And you know what? Olive oil is what we use the most. And you know what? Frankly, olive oil, we could actually get it really, really easily places like Costco. But during that culture, olive oils were made by taking these two stones, part of a press, and an upper stone which would revolve around the lower stone, as the picture shows, and anything between these two stones pretty much got crushed. Now, some people just eat olives, you know, as a whole. But the real money in this business came by crushing these olives. That's how the real value of the olives came, when it was crushed as an oil. Now, I want you to think for a moment, emblematically for a moment. If you guys know your Bible, you know that sometimes the Holy Spirit is given the emblem of an oil, which is emblematic to the Holy Spirit. And that Jesus promised that after he would leave, that he would send the Holy Spirit to work in all of us in the body of Jesus Christ. But before the oil flows, just like the olives have to be crushed, so it is with Jesus. He first came and had to be crushed. And Isaiah chapter 53:5 tells us of that. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed. I mean, that's the literal translation: for our iniquities, and the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Jesus had to be crushed for us. Jesus came to be crushed so that the oil of the Holy Spirit can flow from the Garden of Gethsemane. And so Jesus, going to this garden, Garden of Gethsemane, to pray was not an accident. It was not a spur of the moment while he was dining with his 12 disciples. Oh, you know what? I'm going to go to this garden and I'm going to pray. But all along, this was God's perfect plan from the very beginning, from the Garden of Eden. And so, Jesus arrives at this garden. Verse 36, "And then he came to a place where it is called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I pray.'" I want you to notice this here, what he says here. Because he says, "Just sit here while I pray." Now, he doesn't say to his disciples, I want you to come and pray with me. Now, he does. He does it on a later verse. But we actually kind of interpret the fact that, you know what, all he wanted to do for his disciple was that, look, I just want you to be with me. I don't want you to do anything for me right now, but I just want you to be just sitting next to me. Sit right here. Right here as I pray. You know, guys, we all know that prayer was an integral part of Jesus' time on earth. And he prayed regularly, right? Luke 5:16 tells of that. And his disciples, not only eyewitnessed his life and his ministry, things like healing the blind, lame, the sick, but also they eyewitnessed his prayer life also. But we don't really hear the disciples asking Jesus, "Lord, teach us how to heal. Teach us how to, you know, get the sick well." But rather, his disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, would you teach us how to pray?" Why? What was so special about the way that Jesus prayed? And actually, this is actually the thrust of our current sermon series, The Lord's Prayer. We want all of you to share in not only his perspectives, trusting the Father wholeheartedly, seeking his will very, very diligently, but also surrendering our desires very, very freely. So we're going to look at today three prayers or three aspects of his prayers that was kind of different. So first, Jesus' prayer was different because he just simply enjoyed being in God's presence. You know, quite often, it is so hard for us to just sit along with God. You know, we're so good at, like, doing things for God. Or when we actually pray, we're always asking things. Lord, can you do this? Can you do that? But in verse 36, we find Jesus simply asking his disciples, just come. Sit right here next to me and just sit or be with me. You know, I have a friend who loves to talk. Now, you know, you guys think that Pastor Eric loves to talk. Like, this guy is exponentially, like, 10 times, like, he loves to talk. Talk, 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 talk. And you know what? Honestly, he doesn't care about what others say. Now, how do I know that? It's because, you know, he never remembers what I say or what others say around him. Nor does he listen to what other people say. He just wants people to listen while he is talking. So what made Jesus' prayer so unique was the fact that he just loved spending time with the Father, being in his presence. You know, of course, God wants us to talk to him about what is going on in our lives, our struggles, our victories, our praises, and our hurts. But He also wants us to move beyond that and into a place where you can just simply sit with Him and resting in His presence. And as we do that, we'll find the stress of this world diminishing and the hopeful peace of the one who actually saves. And you may actually soon discover that He actually uses that silent time to provide us with the answers to maybe the life's difficult questions that we're struggling with. You know, there was a woman in the Bible who actually understood the importance of just sitting at the feet of Jesus. And we all know her because her name was Mary of Bethany. You know, Mary never really had a big ministry. She really never wrote her own epistles. But amazingly, every time we see her in the Bible, and we see it three times, we see Jesus defending her, praising her, and calling all of us to look at her and model ourselves after her because she has chosen the right thing. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Because she saw for who Jesus was even before anybody could realize who Jesus was. At the feet of Jesus, she figured out what really, really moved Jesus. And she really, really picked it up right away, more than her sister. She learned His love language, and she fully threw herself into the playing strings of His heart. So next time, as you're going into prayer, rather than going and say, you know what, I need this, rather than just asking things from God, why don't you just sit still with Him, because He wants us to be in His presence. You know, I would really encourage all of you to make time sometime in your day to sit with the Lord. You might be having a quiet time in the morning or maybe a late night devotions. Or some of you guys, I know Pam loves to walk. Most of my actually talking places while I'm actually driving. But quite often, I would just sit in my car to be in His presence. And I would just say, never asking anything, I would just simply say, Lord, I know, but I don't really have the answer to life's questions. But I'm here. And I just want to tell you that I love you. And that right now, it is really, really great being with you. And I really enjoy this quiet time with you. And as you begin to just kind of, Lord, I just want to be still. I want you to start filling into my life. Rather than asking, prescribing, to sit still. And I think the Lord would love that from us. As in Jesus' prayer, He just sat in the presence of His Father so often that He just asks His disciples to come. I don't need to do anything for me. I just want you to sit right here with me. Secondly, we've noticed that His prayer is a prayer of faith. Look at verse 39. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. You know, over the course of my spiritual journey, I practiced different styles of prayers, I guess that's what I'm trying to say. And last Saturday, Will Chung, who's not here right now, introduced to our congregation a very unique style of praying. It was called Lectio Divina, or divine reading, okay? And there is this Korean style of praying too, Korean style praying is we all pray at once. Now, there are different kinds or different style of praying, but do you guys know what the best kind of prayer it is? I think the best kind of prayer is, Lord, I see it this way, but you know the rest of the story. I don't. So whatever you want, Lord, I will submit to your will. I think that's the best kind of prayer. Lord, I need this. I want this. I desire this. But Lord, I submit to your will. And so in verse 39, Jesus is submitting to the will of the Father. Now, in his human nature, he's feeling distressed. He's feeling very, very anguished to the point of, in other Gospels, we find that Jesus is sweating blood. But nevertheless, he says, not what I want, Lord, but I'm here to do what you want. And sometimes I think this is so foreign to us, the way that Jesus prays. I want you to listen to a 19th century pastor named J.C. Ryle as he challenges on this matter so insightfully. I want you to listen to his words. Will we know whether we are born again and growing in grace? Let us see how it is with us in the matter of our wills. Can we bear disappointments? Can we put up patiently with unexpected trials and tribulations? Can we see our favorite plans and darling schemes crossed without murmuring and complaints? Can we sit still and suffer calmly as we go up and down and work actively? These are the things that proves whether we have the mind of Christ. It ought never to be forgotten that warm feelings and joyful frames are not the thrust or the trust evidence of grace. A mortified will is far more valuable than possessions. Even our Lord himself did not always rejoice, but he could always say, "Thy will be done." You know, sometimes I have to constantly remind myself of this challenges that you know what? When my will and God's will clash, who wins? One of the things that made Jesus' prayer so powerful is that it's not my will, but your will. So when we pray and lay our request before him and answer, and when his answer is no, how many of us still continue to pray, affirming his answers and our desires for his will be done above everything else? And in our submission, as we trust and lean on him, we still believe that God will strengthen and will continue to equip us whatever he calls us to do. So through Jesus' prayer, Jesus aligned his will with the Father's will, choosing simply to obey. Now, how was Jesus able to submit himself to whatever the Father wanted? I think it's because he knew the character of his Father. He knew the nature of his Father. He submitted to the nudge of his Father's because he knew that the nature of his Father was good Father. Jesus knew that his Father would always do what is right, that he is sovereignly in control. He's not a passive bystander. He's very, very much involved in his creation. So knowing all that he knew about his Father, he says, nevertheless, not what I will, but your will be done. I'm sure all of us who are in this room who is a father, you've always had this experience where your child was growing up and you kind of wanted, hey, this kid trust me, right? So you put them on a top of a table, right? Or top of a sofa, and you kind of like say, hey, jump, right? Jump, and I will catch you, right? And I'll guarantee you, 100%, your child will jump. I have never seen a child that says, no, I don't trust you, Dad, okay? I ain't jumping. Now, if you actually, for the first time, you asked him to jump and or her to jump, and you forgot to catch her or him, like, I don't think that kid was going to. No, seriously, like, the first time you've asked your child, hey, jump, I will catch you. The child will jump. Why? Because the child trusts the father will catch. And that's why if you read one verse back, verse 35, Jesus actually calls him something. He calls his father, not father, but he actually calls him Abba. I believe the Chinese word and Korean word is a little similar, Appa, right? He went a little further. He fell on the ground. He prayed that if it was possible that the hour might pass from him, and he said what? He said, Abba. Which in Aramaic term, or in Hebrew term, it means Dad, Father. It's actually one of the most intimate relationship word that we could find. Abba. Father, everything with you is possible. So Jesus' prayer in the mountain of Garden of Gethsemane reminds us that following God's will sometimes requires sacrifices. It means that it is to lay aside our rights, our desires, our comforts, our thoughts, because the one who sees it all, knows it all, God knows the best for our lives. So Jesus, what was so special about Jesus' prayer was that he simply loved being an intimate relationship by just sitting in the presence of his Father. So that's why he actually invites his disciples to come. Secondly, his prayer was a prayer of faith. When it came to the bottom line, it's not what I want, Lord, but I'll follow you. And lastly, I want you to look at verse 46. And Jesus finally says, let's rise, let us all going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Now, at this point, Jesus is resolved in walking right straight into the whole scene that we all know what's going to happen, right? We know that pretty soon that he's going to be betrayed by Judas Iscariot. And soon he's going to be delivered into the hands of the Roman soldiers, then to the temple guards, and to go off to the court, to be crucified. But here, we see something. We see him praying. We see with boldness, he says, let us rise, let us be going. Behold, my betrayer is at hand. Did you guys know that before making the monumental decision of choosing his 12 disciples, after being baptized, he goes off into the wilderness to fast and pray. Before healing the sick and driving out the demons, preaching in the synagogues, Jesus often rose early in the morning to pray alone in a solitary place. Now, here is the third secret to his prayer life. Now, I've given you a background of how often Jesus prayed, and I want you to ask yourself, why would Jesus withdraw to a desolate place to pray alone and sometimes spend many, many nights just pray? And here is the third secret. Why would he just continually pray? That's because Jesus could rise up and face his betrayal because he had knelt down before the Father first. The very reason he could stand up was because he had first bowed down before the Father. That's why if you saw verse 36 through 46, we find him praying three times in the garden. He would ceasingly, repeatedly pray and pray and pray and pray. In a sense, he prayed without ceasing. Why? Because he realized the power of prayer. Do you guys know who else did this very, very well? If you guys remember the Old Testament, you guys remember a guy named Daniel. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, when Daniel knew that the document, namely that nobody could pray without the king, had been signed, he went into the house where he had his windows in the upper chamber open toward Jerusalem, and that he had knelt down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God that he had done previously. You see, that was Daniel's pattern of prayer, that he was so disciplined that three times a day he spent in prayer, praying and giving thanks before God, that he had actually done it many, many times in his life. Charles Spurgeon once said that not to pray because you don't feel like it is like saying, I will not take the medicine because I am too ill. The month of April, we're going to challenge, or we're going to kind of invite all of us to pray, to be still. I know that last November, right, we had this Be Still Tuesdays, but we're going to call it Be Still Sundays. We're going to have opportunities where we want the people to come early, as well as after our Sunday service, to pray. Pray for our lives, pray for whatever, but mostly we want to pray for the transition that will incur in 2024. A little foreshadowing, next Sunday, it's going to be a very, very kind of a very unorthodox service. We're not going to have this kind of a pastor preaching. We're actually going to have a prayer time. Pastor Calvin is going to lead us in a time of meditation, and we want all of us to pray during our service. I realize over the years that if I'm not on my knees, that nothing in my life, my spiritual life, or even my mentor told me that, you know what, it's not what you say to your kids, but it's the tears that you drop as you're praying for your family as a father. They will remember that more than what you have told them in their lifetime. What was so special about Jesus' prayer was that it was simply the fact that, you know what, he just spent very, very quality time. He had an intimate time being with the Father. And his prayer was a very, very simple prayer. The fact that his prayer was a prayer of faith. Not my will, but your will be done. And number three, he just prayed very often. Why? Because he knew the power of prayer. I want us to pray. And I completed my sermon within exactly 30 minutes. I want us to pray for right now. I'm not going to just conclude it. Hey, my sermon is done, so I'm going to pray. Right now, I'm going to give maybe about 5 minutes for us to be just totally silent. Don't look at the person next to you. Just right now, just be in just complete silence. I know it's gonna bug you. You're going to fidget. I want you to just be completely silent and just in your own silent mode. Lord, I'm here. I love you very much. And I want to do this very, very often. I love being with you. You know, I was scrolling up on Instagram and I saw one post that really, really struck. And I feel guilty. I saw a girl holding a Bible as she done her chore for the whole day. As she's walking around the whole house, she had a Bible and the caption read, "Would it be nice if you replace your phone with the Bible?" And she just walked around the house with the Bible. And so right now, for the next 3 minutes, I've just wasted 2 minutes. I want us to be just sit still. As Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that He's God. So let's pray. Dear Abba, I believe for us to stand still before you is so foreign. So often that we live in one of those most chaotic and busy part of the whole United States, I think, where busyness is kind of accoladed, and for us to hustle and bustle, Father God, that we need to go here and to there. Father God, this morning, you're challenging us to be still, to be in the presence, to know how good of a God you are, and you are. I don't think I've ever tasted or experienced anything good. Nothing compares. No food or no experience compares to what you are and who you are. And this morning, Father God, we've downloaded all this information. Father God, wouldn't that be so tragic that if you were to just hear and just to walk away? I know that next week, Father Lord, that Pastor Calvin is going to come and allowing us to experience more of this time. But Father God, I simply ask that, Lord, that when we get down on our knees to be able to pray into, to press into, Father, I know that, Lord, that you are going to speak. the desire for us, Father God, to be able to listen to your word, to hear the audible voice, to be able to say, you are my son and daughters. Lord, I want that. I desire that. I know a lot of us in this room, Father, Lord, are going through, once again, different aspects of life, and different areas of their lives are so different. We have the young adults. We have the young adults who are married and kids. We have the people who have elementary students, youth students. We have generations where, you know what, they're empty nesters. And we've actually experienced all facets of life, or going to. But Lord, from my own experience, the best kind of experience happens in your presence. And Father God, Lord, I know we call it God's sighting, but Lord, I pray that more of God's sighting will be able to be present in this ministry, this culture, this body of Jesus Christ. God, I'm still kind of imaging right now Chase and James and the people who are there at Kids Against Hunger. This Saturday where we're going to go out and we're going to have a Project Peace. And all these things, Father God, I know that sometimes we're just doing it and doing it and doing it. We're good at that. We're just good at doing things for you. But you said to Mary of Bethany, you have chosen the right thing, just to be sit in the presence of the Father. Because being in the presence of the Father, we realize who you are, what makes you tick. What is something that you are desiring? And Father God, we desire what you're desiring. And maybe, Father God, that is something that is totally different from what our agendas, our plans. And yet, Father God, I ask, not my will, our church's will, but your will be done. Father, I know that, once again, being still is so foreign. I just pray, Father, Lord, that we would make not a small but a large time out of our life during the day to be able to spend this relationship with you more and more. And I think you will like that. And we just simply say, I love you, Lord. You're the best. You're the good Father. You are the one who saved. You're the one who actually went to the cross. You are the one who bled for my life so that I could live. God, we desire to be like you. We desire to follow in your footsteps, to be the hands and the feet, to be the channel of blessing in the life that you have given to us. And so often, we feel like we have a whole lot, and yet, Father God, I know life on earth, it is so, so small compared to the life that we're going to be living up in heaven. I ask in the name of Jesus that, Lord, all of us who are sitting in this room will be spiritually awake so that we will listen and listen well as we spend this time being still before you. Father, I thank you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.